time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yes, yes. We are back in your ear, crystal clear. You already know the rest. Oh, man. Summer, you know, June, it's full bloom. We out here. We shit is getting hot. Shit is starting to get hot. Hopefully, yeah. you're making your, making whatever, doing whatever you need to do to stay cool out there. Muhammad, what's going on? How you feeling? Talk to me.
I'm feeling good, man. You know, the summer kicked off with the heat. And then here in Atlanta, they're having what they call Atlanta Champagne Week. So that kicked off last night. They did some shit that tripped me out because I never seen it. Of course, you know, it's been around. It ain't no new shit. It's just new to me. So they did. They kicked it off with a sobriety event, which is like when you bust the champagne open with a sword. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I vaguely recall it, but I didn't know nothing about it. So, you know, apparently Napoleon made it famous on the battlefield, busting the champagne off with the sword and shit.
So, saber.
With a saber. Yeah. So that's why I call it sobriety.
You know? Okay, got you. And so, that shit look dangerous.
Yeah, but that shit looked. But when the lady showed, like, okay, it was the lady who was like, she was kind of like the expert champagne person or whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so she came up and, you know what I'm saying, she was showing the host how to do it. You know what I'm saying? So she executed it. She told him where to put it on the seam of the bottle. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, it's like a swift strike up, you know.
Right.
And
right.
They use like it's not really a knife. It's not sharp like a knife. You know what I'm saying? But it's shaped like a knife, like a big knife. And then, so basically, you know, you put it up on the seam of it, and then you slide it up, but the bottle got to be cold. All these other conditions now. This is shit if you don't know about, you know what I'm saying, you're going to fuck it up a couple times. So
blood in your bubbles.
Right. Yeah. Blood, glass, you know what I'm saying? Somebody get their eye knocked out type shit.
Nasty.
So everybody backed up, and she did it, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, damn, that shit dope. You know what I'm saying? I was hyped, you know what I'm saying? I was like, shit, I need to do that shit in the backyard.
Right. You know, get my little sword together. Hold on.
Champagne campaign, baby. You know what I'm saying? So then I quickly came falling back to earth and down to reality in a sobering way when one of the guys who put the event on, it was his turn to do it. You know what I'm saying? So then he went up there, and he kind of fumbled it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? He got it off, but then he almost dropped the bottle, and the champagne went everywhere.
Oh.
I'm like, it ain't as easy as I thought.
Nah, that shit is crazy. But then, you know what? Go ahead. Now, I was going to say, I know we over here, we popping champagne and all of that. We, you know what I mean? We champagne weekend and all that. But we also got a guest. So I don't want to have a cat in the midst, in the wings or whatever. We're going to get right back into the champagne conversation. But, we got our Don of the DMV, our arts and leisure correspondent from, you know, my man Chris Lambert is in the building. Chris Lambert, say what up to the people real fast.
What's up, people? Thanks for having me, guys. Always a pleasure to be here.
Yeah.
There it is. So go ahead, Muhammad.
Just to elaborate a little bit, we usually do introduce the guests after we introduce the thing, but I jumped out of pocket. I just went on in. So
that's all good. It's all good. It's a conversation. It is what it is. I didn't want to step on if the cat wanted to react to some of this shit. You know what I mean? Niggas got to just stand over there muted. But go ahead. So you were saying.
So the main host went and he kind of almost dropped the bottle. So the champagne went everywhere and it was like, oh shit, that shit ain't as easy as it looks, you know what I mean? So then the third person went, the other host, the one like she was like the host, Faven Ressam, who owns Whiskey Mistress. She went, and she, you know, she was a little, like, you know, she was a little tentative, like, oh shit, this shit might be tricky. Now, I ain't no Sabraj pro, shit. You know, so behind the scenes, she was looked like she was kind of nervous about it. But, you know, she stepped up, took the motherfucking sword, and hit that bitch. Bam! And that shit went off like, oh, salute, you know what I'm saying? So it went smooth. So it reinvigorated the confidence of doing this shit in the backyard, you know? Showing out just for your little occasion.
Right. I hear that shit. That champagne popping, either you sabering it or even if you're just using it, you know, just doing it the traditional way, there's a little bit of anxiety if you're not, you know, there's some danger to it. I was watching Coco Golf, right? So I should pronounce the last name Golf. You know, it's Coco Golf season. I mean, she's been rocking for a minute, but now she done won the French Open. So they had her on some telecast, you know, like one of the post-match type of interview. I guess she just turned 21. So they brought out some, like a bottle of champagne to celebrate. You know, she's a winner and she just turned 21. It was like, yo, you ever popped champagne before? She was like, nah. And you know, when a motherfucker ain't never popped champagne, they could fucking aim that shit anywhere. You know what I mean? You gotta be like, whoa, hold on. It's like a gun. It's like before you, it's like somebody that's never shot a gun fucking around with a loaded pistol, they could do the wrong thing that could be fatal. So she said, it's like, yeah, you take the cage off, you do this shit, and you know, the shit pop cool, pow, you know what I mean? But you know, always the champagne, you know, we gotta bring back them teas, but the champagne, the that shit is success. That shit is a celebration. It's never,
pop is motherfucker, you know?
Yeah, it's official. What kind of champagne you gonna pop in the backyard, though? What you thinking?
Oh, I have no idea. You know what I'm saying? I just knew when I saw that lady hit that Sabraj, I was like, oh, that unlocked a new level. You know what I'm saying? Like, because, you know what I'm saying? You could get beyond a great toast with a great pop. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? True. You could just get a little health and wealth. Poof.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That set the shit off.
Right. And you could undermine a great toast with a whack. You know what I mean? You
say, yeah, but we ain't aiming for a whack surprise. We tried to hit it.
There you go.
You know? Yeah. But you definitely got to be out there by yourself. You can't have all the people around you when you do that shit. You got to have a clear runway for that cork.
Yeah. Was when I seen them do that shit, sometimes a lot of the glass gets cut too.
Yeah, a lot of times the ring of the bottle pops off. But if you do it right, it's supposed to pop off smooth, you know. Okay. But, you know, obviously things happen. Things can go however they go. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if the ring popped off on the one yesterday. I didn't see it. It looked smooth. It looked clean the way they did it. Bam. But, you know, I could be wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what's up. Chris, what's cracking with you, man? What's going on, man? How you feeling?
I'm doing all right, man. I can't complain too much. Just keeping busy. I've been working on my special, putting together my hour, which you've been kind enough to have me on the road with you. And we've been just working on the act. I was in Buffalo last week doing a show, headlining up there. Speaking of alcohol, I had one that I know Ali is a – I think both of you are a bit of a connoisseur. Lemon, you put me on to the Golden Monkey, and I know Ali, we had several fat tires when we used to be in studio in person. I was in Buffalo at this bar called Bar Bill, which is a chain of about – I think there's three locations. There's one in the suburban Buffalo – there's one in Rochester, and there's one somewhere else. I tried this beer called Ruby Red Kolsch by Genesee. It's G-E-N-E-S-E-E.
E-E.
Mm-hmm. And it's a Ruby Red Kolsch. Kind of tastes like beer with Ruby Red in it. It's essentially, that's what it is. And it's, I think this company is out of Rochester. And I did do my Google searches, and I found that it is in our, it's at least it's in the New York area.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, yeah, that's a
I
good
think
one.
Genesee is actually an area.
Yo,
in New
Genesee,
York.
That's what it's called?
I believe so. Okay. I believe so. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I've seen that. But I've seen that just as, not as a Ruby Kolsch, but I've seen it as a just a straight up, I guess, the OG Genesee beer. I don't know if okay. I've ever had it before, but I feel like yeah. I've seen it before. But you said it was good?
It was good. I'm actually trying to find some maybe this weekend.
Okay, that's what's up. Yeah, that sounds good. You know, it was funny. I was thinking before we even cracked the mic while we was doing the pre-pro thing, I was really about to ask both of y'all. It was a random question. It just, I don't even know where it came from, but I was like, when was the last time y'all was drunk?
Drunk,
not even nice, but like drunk.
Not the last Super Bowl before last. When I had too much. I was supposed to hang out with my now ex-girlfriend, and I ended up getting this whiskey, this Japanese whiskey called Nika, N-I-K-K, it was too much. And I missed the Patrick Mahomes gallant effort in winning. And I remember, all I could just remember is my mother, the room spinning, and my mother calling me, I told y'all they was going to win. I told you. And I was like, that's great, Mom. And then I went to the bathroom and just, bah! So that was bad. That was like, it's like, I'm 44 doing this shit. What are we doing here? So I was like, that was too much. I was like, I can't do that. I overdid it.
Yeah, I don't remember being drunk. Last time I remember being drunk is my 30th birthday, and it was a bit much. I mean, I ain't throw up, but I definitely was drunk, and I definitely drove drunk, and I definitely definitely checked myself out. I was like, nigga.
We was
in Miami. You know how Miami, you on the beach, it feel like you're on a go-kart anyway. Like, you don't feel like you're going nowhere.
Man.
Oh,
man.
You know what I'm saying? It just feel like you're going up and down the street. You know what I mean?
Right.
So we had some events. It was my birthday the night before, and then we had an Alizé event the next night. You know how that Alizé go. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The Alizé was like so sugar. So fun, and you know, it don't taste like much, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
to get the party going, I was on that Alizé, nigga. I was dancing on the dance floor, I was wilding, you know what I'm saying? and I remember at the end of the night, I had to pay LaShawna Stanley, the Ethnicity Models, because they, you know, they work, so I had to give her a check. Mm-hmm. So I'm drunk. I don't even know where she at. I just know I gotta pay. I got the check, but I don't know where to start. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, fuck it. I walked out, got in the car. I hit the corner, and as soon as I hit the corner, she was hitting the corner the other way. So we were able to stop in traffic. I handed her the check through the windows like some Jeezy drug deal or something.
That's hilarious.
And just kept it moving.
That's some real Miami ass shit. That shit sound crazy. Drunk in two different sedans, passing money, and driving off drunk to the motherfucker.
Driving off, didn't think nothing else of it, just left. But made it back to the room, thankfully. But I had to check myself after that. I was like, man, you can't be doing this shit.
Yeah, man. That's funny. That's funny that you was like, I'm out here dancing. It's certain behavior.
Do you remember
that you
any
do?
Of the songs, Ali?
Nah, I don't remember the song. I got a picture of me dancing, and I was drunk, man. Nigga. I was drunk in the picture, nigga. This was like 2 hours before it was over.
That's funny as hell. Damn.
I remember the outfit. I had on all black with an Atlanta Falcons hat. They get some black Adidas that I can't remember what the name was, but they was fresh. I like the motherfuckers. And yeah, man, I remember having a great time, but I remember being too drunk. You overdid it, Holmes.
Yeah, man. Damn. I don't know. Now that y'all talking about the drunk, I don't know the last time I've been drunk. I've been near drunk, like nice, super nice.
Yeah.
But I guess when you talking about Erlen and you over here, you know what I'm saying, doing dancing, synchronized
all
speed
in the video.
And, you know what I mean? Yeah. Hey, man, it's been a long, long time since I've been like that gone to where you like, I remember I used to get super drunk. Damn, if I had to think about super drunk, that's definitely like undergrad. I mean, I've been drunk since then, but like that I could remember those days when you know you drunk and then when you hit the bed and the room is still like spinning, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Shit is like, you like, oh, this is a bad one. Like, I don't know when I started doing it, but my little remedy for that is always to drink a bottle of water and like two Advil, and that I'll bounce back. Like, I won't have the crazy hangover. To this day, I still won't have the crazy hangover, but I haven't been room spinning drunk in a long time, but I've been like nice, like,
yeah,
nice. But I guess I'm old enough to know, I'm old enough to be responsible now. I'm drinking responsibly for like to right there where I'm like, okay, I do one or two more of these, it could be a problem. Let me chill. Let me enjoy the shit. I might even do some shit that'll tick me off to where I'm like, yo, dude, you wildin'. They might not have caught that, but you know exactly. You played yourself low key. Relax. That might have been maybe a month ago. You know what I'm saying? Something like that, like a month ago. But damn it, the way y'all talking about drunk,
I thought that was the question.
Yeah, me too. No, that's what I thought.
Question.
Yeah.
That was the question. But now I'm just, you know, maybe, yeah, I guess, maybe I ain't going hard enough. I ain't been drunk in a long time.
We ain't either. That's the point.
Yeah.
If you're saying just feeling nice, it's just like, the best feeling is like when you've had a couple, you know you're not going anywhere, there's no shows or anything, or you don't have any obligations. For me, it's like, You have whatever adult beverage you got, and you wait. You recently it was me warming up putting one of those frozen pizzas in the oven. Those like, it's called Cape Cod pizza, and it's like vacuum sealed, and I think it costs like $8 or $9. It's actually a really good pizza. You can get like cheese or pepperoni, and it's really good. And just having your adult beverage. I think it might have been like maybe some some.
Sound mad like, responsible, vacuum seal and everything. Go ahead, keep going.
I mean, that's what it is. That's how it comes. You can get your local Stop and Shop or wherever. But it was great, and just like I think I might have had like a 10 cup whiskey or some Uncle Nearest, and just like wait for that joint to go or playing some music and just It's the shit.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially after a long day of TPS reports, you know?
That's what's up. Yeah.
What's a TPS report?
Yeah, tell the people.
TPS reports, I mean, if you remember the movie Office Space, the 1999 Mike Judge film, it's a cult classic. It's just like they just called it the TPS report. It's like, did you do your TPS report? That's just a known thing. Right. If you're in corporate America, you gotta, you know, your day job is like, hey, make sure these TPS reports are done by this time, and what's the timeline on this, and all that jazz. It's just a cult classic. Great, great, great film.
They don't call it that in your job. You just use the reference from the film. Okay,
yeah,
I was about to say,
yeah.
I didn't think it got that broad. Yeah,
No.
I was about to say, I didn't know it took off like that. I got the reference, but I didn't, you know what I mean? I was about to ask you to explain the reference. Yeah.
I thought you was talking about Tyler Perry Studios.
Hilarious. That's the only TPS I respect.
The only one I know.
Putting money in niggas' pockets. Putting more millionaires than all of these studios combined. Tyler was talking his shit at the BT Awards. I don't know if y'all saw that. He said that shit. Like, he said,
I missed Tyler Perry part.
Oh, man. First of all, Tyler Perry did a wardrobe change, and he only went on stage, I think, one time, which is crazy.
What?
But, Tyler Perry had to let y'all niggas know he keep a wardrobe. Plethora of options. But he was up there. He was getting here. He was presenting. Was he presenting or was he accepting? No, he was presenting the No, he was he wasn't even presenting the Icon Award. He was bringing up Ledisi, right? Oh, but he was there talking, and he was like, he had a whole little thing where he was talking about footprints, right? He was like, you know, putting off, and it you could tell he, I think he was going off the head, you know what I mean? But it was smooth. He was saying how he was walking on the beach with his son, and his son was like running kind of all over the place. They had to gather his son, get him in, you know, in tow or whatever. And then his son, I guess, was walking behind him, and he was like, "Hey, Dad, look, I'm walking in your footprints." And then, you know, that was the premise of the whole thing. And he was just talking about how, you know, footprints are so important in this day and time, especially since they're trying to erase our history, and our footprints ain't even start here in America. Our footprints started way over in Africa. We put footprints in the water. They can't get rid of these footprints. He was cooking, right? Mm-hmm. And then, like, you know, he got into the third gear, and he was, I don't know exactly to what point he was saying. He said, look, he said, something about, you know, you got to trust yourself. You got to, you know, whatever, whatever, right? But he said, he got it to the point where he said, and look, I done made more black millionaires than all of these studios out here combined. It was in LA. All these studios out here combined. And people was like, ah! Like, it was like tambourine time when Pastor's really cooking. But anyway, so that just reminded me of the, you know, you talk about TPS. And then I'm not sure if either one of y'all saw this, but did you see Straw, the latest Tyler Perry masterpiece?
I just heard about that today.
I didn't even I ain't seen it yet, but somebody told me, somebody referenced it today. I'm like, what the fuck is Straw? Oh, I was at the shop just now, and the receptionist was asking me, did I see Straw? Because I came to the shop, and the lady was freaking out because her car wasn't ready or whatever, her battery wasn't work or some shit. But she was freaking all the way out. Like when I pulled up, I had to wait for her to get out of the street because she was like, walking in the middle of the thing, holding her head, talking about, God, don't do this to me today. Don't do that to me today. I'm like, God damn, can you move over? I don't need that energy on my project. But
please, man, take it. Move that over there. But the receptionist, was the receptionist?
No, the receptionist was talking about that customer and saying she referenced some character in Straw, and I hadn't seen it. Yeah. She was like, nah, you need to go see it.
Yeah, man. It's, if they probably represent, she's referencing the Taraji character. What was her name in the movie? Oh, damn, why can't I think of her name? Fuck, I can't think of her name. But anyway, she's the main character, and she's a single mother. You know what I mean? Tyler Perry, single mother, living, you know what I mean? And they're in the hood, they're living. She got one daughter. Her daughter has, multiple ailments and illnesses, one of which is epileptic. So, you know, she's epileptic, but she's like independent. She's a young kid. She's probably like 4 or 5, maybe 6. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Something to that degree. But she's like, she's epileptic, but she's like a, you know, she's a smart little girl. You know what I'm saying? But she gets sick a lot, and you know, they basically, you see them in a dumb hot apartment, ceiling fan, no AC. You could just feel the humidity in the shot. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, shit, the neighbor upstairs, shit, they waking them up. That shit sound like a fucking box Chevy. They live under the doom, 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 like to the point where the little girl got to sleep with headphones. You know what I mean? Like, it's just waking up to just disturbance. You know what I'm saying? So then, boom, you just seeing all of everything, every level of adversity. It's like fucking all mad and adversity that she's going through. We just go through level
all mad
level
and adversity.
Right.
I think that's the title of this episode, I think, or it's in the running.
This shit is so crazy. So then she's like, they waking up. I mean, she waking up. She's, it's like I said, the little girl is like, you know, like a real smart little kid or whatever. She's trying to bathe her in the bath. And the little girl's like, I could bathe myself. She's like, ah, babe, you can't do that because, you know, you got sick last time. And I guess she had a seizure and she hurt herself in the tub. So that's why. So we got to remember that. Right. So then, boom, they going outside. This is how they wake up. Just, you know what I mean? Going through all that, go outside. And I've been saying this for a while when I watch these Tyler Perry movies, but last time I talked to you about, Divorce in Black or whatever, Beauty in Black. They way they motherfuckers be talk, the characters talk to each other, it's just like crazy. So she walk out, the landlord is like, where's my motherfucking rent at? You know what I mean? She's like, man, I'm going to get my check today. My check coming in. All right, nigga. If you ain't got your check, I'm putting your shit out. Like, she got a little baby with her. If you put your check out, and then she's like, oh, I'm going to get it to you. All right, well, your shit going to be outside if it ain't. Da-da-da. She's like, all right, all right. She said, and then I guess the cat who be blasting on the music is sitting on the, you know, on the same little balcony. So she says to the landlady, say, hey, can you tell her to keep his music down? Nah, motherfucker. He pay his rent on time. He gonna let that music play. She's like, all right. So boom. So now she going into the world, dropping the kid off. You know what I'm saying? They, oh, the little girl's like, yo, I need $40 for lunch. You know what I'm saying? They're laughing at me. And she said, what happened? She said, the teacher said, I need $40 for lunch. The teacher said it in front of everybody, so they didn't shame the little girl. So now she got to get the $40 out the check. This is, you know, this is all before she dropped the kid off. Dropped the kid off, speed off. She trying to get to work on time. She wound up, I guess she cut off an unmarked car. Turns out it's a racist cop. He smack her car so she spins out, and he get out, and he ready to blow her head off. Another cop got to, like, you know, break the whole shit up. He's like, I swear to you, if I get the chance to put a bullet in your head, I will. Like, it was some super foreshadowing. So it's like, oh, wow, this is crazy. So then, boom, she finally get to work. She get to work. She working. She's like a cashier at, like, a supermarket or something like that. The line is to the back of the store, and it's only one register. She got to jump on the other register. She go to punch in. Her boss, what's my man's name from Cooley High? Glenn Turman is the boss, and you know the Tyler Perry tropes. Glenn Turman start the scene with his foot deep in her ass. Where the fuck is you doing? Where's you at? You that you better get on that register. What's wrong with you? You know what I mean? He's like, I was just taking my kid to school. I don't give a fuck about your kid. You know, all of that type of shit.
Damn.
So then she go there. The lady is some lady come on the thing. She got mad groceries trying to get them with WIC. They not all WIC approved. She tells the lady. The lady's like, you stupid bitch. So then she throw all of the shit. They throw a bottle at her. Like, it's, I mean, when I tell you, everything is happening. So then, boom. Hold on one second. I gotta, hold on. Man, so when I tell you, like, everything is happening, then I forget something else happened. Something, she get a call from the school. She get a call from the school. Something happened to her daughter within the last 30 minutes since she's been at the spot. So now she got to run out. She says, I need a half an hour to go pick up my daughter. The guy said, you not back in 30 minutes. You better find another job. You know what I mean? That type of shit. Obviously, you know, he ain't going to be back. She ain't going to be back in 30 minutes. And then she tried to go cash her check. Line is crazy. They not letting her cash her check. So she jumped back in the car. And then she go to pick up her daughter. Then she gets to the spot. And CPS is in there. And they, like, ready to take her daughter. She's like, you can't take my daughter. I was just trying to get her $40 for her lunch. What's going on? She says, we found bruises on her. She's dirty, you know what I mean? She's been smelling. She's like, she doesn't smell. I washed her today. What are you talking about? She's got bruises because she fell. She's sick, you know. And, you know, let's be honest. Taraji could play the struggle role. You've seen her in a lot of struggle roles. She's great at it. People love her. She's a hell of an actress, but, like, sometimes it's almost like the Mary J. Blige, you know what I mean? Thespianness. So anyway, boom. So she's like, what are you doing? They take the baby from her and shit. Now she's distraught. She's trying to go still, you know what I mean? She goes back to work. These niggas, she go there. She trying to clock in. She's obviously been going longer than 30 minutes. Terman come in. You are fired. I called Keisha. Keisha done came in. She's working now. Get the fuck out of here. She's like, I'm so sorry, but you know, to do my picture. But can I just get my check? Ah, nigga, you know when you get fired, we got to mail you your check. She's like, but my check is right there on the desk. Ah, nigga, sorry. you're fucking fired. So now it's just like everything is against her. So she mad as shit. And then she's kind of fussing with it. Like, come on, can you try to appeal to her? Can you get my check? Niggas come in the back. I think her name is Janiya. Niggas come in the back. Goose, hey, Janiya. But Janiya got a name tag on him. Hey, she don't know him. They say, hey, to the boss. Motherfuckers pull out the guns, start robbing the spot. And then one thing leads to another. Somebody starts shooting. I forget what happened. Janiya winds up busting the shot. You know what I mean? The boss winds up dead, and it goes on from there.
Spoiler alert.
And that's just, yeah, I mean, dog, I'm telling you this. It's a sport. First of all, anybody that listens knows, shit is this eggs 4 days past the expiration date. It's spoiled to the motherfucker. Damn. But I did not even spoil the movie, is what I'm telling you. When I tell you all of that adversity and all of that shit that she got to go up against, that shit was about 15 minutes into the movie. You still got about an hour and 45 minutes into the movie. We haven't even introduced the rest of the characters of the story. There's a whole nother hour and 35, 40 minutes of the movie that I'm not going to speak on. But, you know, the shit, number one, because Tyler Perry got the fan base. The people love it. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, I wish y'all had seen it.
I'm going to watch it.
We could talk a little bit more. Yeah, you check it out. You let me know what you think about it or whatever. But y'all let me know. If y'all saw it, let me know in the comments, you know what I mean, what y'all thought about Straw. You know what I mean? Also, let us know the last time y'all got drunk in them comments. But yeah, man. Yeah, so when you talk about homegirl out there fussing out loud in the midst of the parking lot and circles, and the struggle is emanating off of her to the point that it's like you feel like it's like COVID. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You like, ma, yeah, that reference was apt.
She was just saying, like, calm down. There's people going through stuff way worse, referencing the movie, because she probably was going through way worse than she is. Mm-hmm. But she was going off, and I want to see the owner. And, you know, she was young. You know what I'm saying? So she didn't really know how to handle, you know what I'm saying, these types of issues. So she was just doing, I guess, what she thought she was supposed to do. And then when I was about to leave, one of the other, actually the cat who did my engine, I was talking to him. I was like, nigga, you made that shit like butter, man. That shit running like a motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? And so he was like, ah, man. Because he was one of the ones getting fussed out. I'm like, nigga, you know, I don't need none of that energy on my ride. So, yeah, nigga, my shit like butter, man. We just got to fix this other shit. And he was like, man, I appreciate that. And then the other dude was like, man, yeah, because she tripping. Because she ain't even the client. It's her daddy that's the client. She just brought her car up here.
Oh, man.
I was like, man. So, you know, she was young and just frustrated and didn't know how to deal with what was going on. I mean, well, I don't know if it's the Gen Z, Gen Alpha, whatever they is, but she couldn't take it. She was like her battery wouldn't start. They was the reception was like, lady, why'd you turn the car off? He just jumped you. You know what I'm saying? Like, in order for your battery to stay charged, you gotta let it charge.
Yeah, you gotta let it run for a little
bit. But she cut it off, and now she's like, oh my god, my battery's still dead. And I was like, man, can I get my shit in, please, and get the fuck on down the road? But yeah.
Right. And I like how you had to speak life back into them cats, too. Hey, listen, fellas. You do good work. Don't bring that. Yeah, demoralized energy to my whip.
That's what I started with, nigga. As soon as I started talking to the receptionist, I was like, hey, listen, I ain't one of them, so I really don't want that kind of energy on my project.
Yeah, man. That shit is crazy, dog. It's crazy. You know, it's interesting when you see people like you said, Gen Z or whomever, like when you see younger people in their first kind of encounters with like real You know what I mean? Adversity or whatever. Like, this is the beginning of it all. And how, you know, because I guess it depends on how you grew up. You know, some people grow up in the fire. They don't even grow up in the pan. You know what I'm saying? So that, like, by the time they forged by the fire, by the time they like fucking 11, they smoking cigarettes. You know what I'm saying? They balancing, you know what I mean? The books and shit like that. They, you know what I mean? They just got a grasp on anything that could go wrong. They a hardened motherfucker. But most people, they kind of get that like a little later on in life. And you kind of, I think, depending on who your model is for how to deal with stress, that's kind of what you duplicate. You know what I mean? I think we talked about this a long time ago on the pod, where it's like sometimes for many, it could be very performative. Like just in like what she was saying, like she was doing, just fussing in the midst of the, you know what I mean, the parking lot and kind of make it a bit of a scene or whatever because she don't know how to handle it. It's almost like her problem got to almost become everybody else's problem. You know what I mean? And it's just like, come on, man. That ain't gonna do it. That shit, nigga. Motherfuckers is gonna stop inviting you to shit.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want that kind of energy in your vehicle.
Nah.
Niggas who cook your food, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, making your drink. Food.
Or fixing your handshake. Vehicle. I don't even want that in my handshake. Nah, cool. Yeah. Get you with the elbow. Oh, man.
But yeah, man. But yeah, I missed that on the BET Awards though. But the rest of it seemed like they had that shit chock full of talent. They did their thing this year.
It was one of the better BET Awards.
Yeah.
In a minute, like it was a really good show. First of all, that joint was 5 hours long. Damn. BET Awards is always long. It's five. I no exaggeration. It started at 8 o'clock. I remember looking up at my phone. It was damn near 1 o'clock, and they were still. It wasn't. It didn't even look like that shit was slow with that. It felt like we was in the final act. Yeah, but it was good. It was good. Did y'all either one of y'all watch any of it or?
Yeah, I watched. I watched pieces. I gambled on. You know, what I'm saying the clips was gonna be up. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I ain't got to sit here and watch this shit. Then I was at the champagne event. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. So, got you.
So I came through watching the clips, but them shits just kept coming. And I'm like, how many clips is it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't know if I made it through all the clips. You know what I'm saying? Because it started feeding me. It started feeding me the ones that was like outside red carpet. So I was like, let me stick to the show. But I got through a lot of it. You know what I'm saying? I got through a lot of it. So I did take note that it was, you know, they had a lot of good people there. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It was going through it. And it wasn't like they were like trolling for talent. You know what I'm saying? Like begging for people to be there. You know what I'm saying? She's like, oh, they didn't have the biggest. They didn't have Beyonce, but they had they had a whole lot of relevant to the culture, 25 years of the BET Awards, they had a lot of good people, you know what I'm saying, participating, you know. So I enjoyed that they were able to pull it together because they've taken so much strife over the last 25 years of doing it. Every time, especially since Twitter came out, it was just like, this is trash. Yeah, embarrassment to the
BET Awards.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, embarrassment to the, like, nigga, what? Like, come on, man, stop it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, but y'all like MTV Awards. Come on, man. Y'all tripping.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Keep going. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, like, they complain about the little mishaps on the BET Awards, but the MTV Awards be having mishaps, but then they'll chalk it up as, oh, they did it on purpose. Yeah, like, stop it. But go ahead.
Nah, that go. Nah, well, one thing that I think might have informed it too, that I didn't realize it until I saw some, like, there was a clip about it, but it probably had something to do with it, too, because, you know, Kevin Hart hosted it, right? And he said, I guess he told the producers, he was like, I want it to be black tie. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want that joint to be black tie. Let's not have it where motherfuckers is just wearing anything. Mm-hmm. I guess, you know what I mean? So I guess on a certain level, it added a certain level of event to it. You know what I mean? Like, where even if you look into the crowd, people dressed for it. And you could see it. People were, like, dressed up for it. Everybody wasn't black tie, but people were, like, it just added a level of respect for what it was. You know what I mean? And on top of that, to your point, there were like a lot of celebs in there, and they kind of kept flowing in as the night continued. Because I watched the Associated Press had a stream of the red carpet, and I don't know, it's becoming my thing now. I like to watch these shits. It's like a stream, and watching the stream, it wasn't a production, it was just a stream, just a streaming camera on the red carpet. Whoever came on that red carpet came on that red carpet. So it's the most, it's like a ring cam. It's like the most candid you could get. And man, I love this type of shit, because you see so much with the red carpet. The red carpet captures so much, like, just like, it's just raw emotion, all types. It's like, yo, man, you see the people that are nervous, anxious about it. You see the people that are like just fully in the moment and they just ready for it. You see like a little bit of, you know, reluctance. You see people that don't know who you are. You know what I'm saying? You see people off balance. You're seeing like couples. You know what I mean? There's all types of body language cues going on. And like, it's always, it's funny because I've been on a red carpet and I've worked at a red carpet, so I can see both sides of it. And it has people more often than not off balance. Even people of high esteem, like certain executives that you've known for like 30 years that are the shit. Like when they on that carpet and they in front of them cameras and shit, they kind of clam up because that's not their setting of, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they just like, and it's just so, smile, look over the shoulder, look to the left, come here, look, give me some more, come on, smile. Like when people telling you to smile and shit, like that shit, that command be thrown. Some people are cool with it. Some people drink that shit in. A lot of people are thrown. You know what I mean? A lot of people don't know how to smile. Some people trying to throw, like they trying to get red carpet with their shit as opposed to a red, like you realize, I probably heard it before, but I watched it. I was like, the trick to that shit, have maybe no more than 3 poses and commit to them shits and lock into your one smile. Don't let them ruffle you, because they will ruffle you, or you'll start doing shit that you don't even know what you're doing. You look crazy. You start doing like the, you know, and everybody got their little go-to, you know, like little poses and shit. And some of these poses is cool for like in the club, but the red carpet shit, it's not gonna come across well on Getty Images. You're gonna look crazy. But you know, like you see people do the, they show their jewelry, that you see people. Then there's shit that make you look dated. Certain shit has kind of played out. Like, one thing that dudes do, you know, I'm from this generation, like, you got to chill. You see somebody else doing, you like, yo, that shit look old, man. Like, niggas do the eyebrow, like the raised eyebrow. Man, I seen one of our favorite rappers got real befuddled and hit the eyebrow, and that shit aged that man 20 years. It did. Oh man, who the fuck did it? Young 2 Chainz hit the eyebrow.
Young 2 Chainz?
I said, yeah, 2 Chainz. Yeah, 2 Chainz hit the eyebrow. I was like, come on, nigga. I see you was watching some, because I just watched Lady Sings the Blues recently. And you know, niggas are still pulling from the Billy D playbook. Billy D, man. Was, come on.
Nigga, they don't give us a lot of examples, man.
Not too many. You know what I'm saying? He's one of the greats, but that's a whole crate. That's an old school crate. But when you watch it, but when you watch Lady Sings the Blues, he's the smoothest motherfucker in the whole shit. And you gonna let my arm fall off? Like, that nigga was smoothest. Man, but so you seeing that shit? I guess
black guys don't have a blue steel, like the.
No, black people do. Black people do, but it's like, that's the thing. Sometimes, like, I don't know if it's a blue steel, but there's definitely that. I'm trying to be real sexy,
yeah.
And it's the thing when you trying to be sexy, you're not, yeah. Nah, you look crazy, because it was a couple cats. And I'm trying to keep everything anonymous. You know what I'm saying? But it's a couple kind of cats trying to keep it real. And it was just like, nigga, just relax. Yeah. You looking crazy right there. So there's that. There was some niggas was hitting the old school, the like I said, some of these poses is dated, like the old school arms cross run DMC shit. Mm-hmm. Niggas ain't doing that no more. Like, take that, get that out of here, man. But yeah, man, it was just interesting, and it was like I like that shit. I like that. I've been watching that type of thing. Besides red carpets, I come across some of these little Instagram pages, and there's like, I don't know, over the last couple years, like just recently, there was some cat on Instagram, photographer, who stands outside the Garden. You know what I mean? So like when Knicks was in the playoffs and they were going crazy, all these celebs was coming to the thing. And then, you know, he getting the candids and shit like that. And then there's another cat that does like paparazzi photography. And the paparazzi game is just so funny to me, because some of them be out there so much that they either build a bit of rapport with these people or build a fake rapport. You know what I mean? They'd be like, Rihanna, it's me. You know what I'm saying? And Rihanna turn around like, huh? And they, whatever it takes to get your attention. It's me, baby. How you been? You're looking great. Look at the... And it's just, the shit is just funny, man. It's just seeing people off balance is kind of, I don't know, something funny about it, because I could understand that feeling of, oh shit, what's going on here? Like, you know what I mean? And the stakes are really not that high.
Right.
At the worst, it's just a bad picture, or even worse, these niggas don't recognize you. You know what I'm saying? And you gotta go.
The stakes is high though. The stakes is high. Cause them pictures, them pictures last forever, and they circulate a motherfucker. And every time you forget about it, they'll pull that bitch right back up. Cause it's the only one, the last recent one they got. You know what I'm saying? I know it from doing news and pulling pictures and shit. And you'll pull a picture and motherfucker call up there so motherfucker quick, like, hey. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, come on now.
Like, yeah. Hey, man, it's a picture, nigga, it's you.
They did that with Sly Stone, who just passed, the fader. Uh-huh. Everybody else put up a cool little picture of Sly Stone. I don't know if they switched it yet, but the Sly Stone picture that they put up for on the fader, it wasn't flattering at all. It was like, come on, y'all could have done a little better. But yeah, true indeed. And also, like, depending on the context, like if you in there, like to that point, you know what I mean? They were kind of a little bit, there was a little bit of a little kerfuffle about Keith Sweat saying women don't really do what they used to do. They don't cook and clean and all of that other shit. You know what I'm saying?
Keith Sweat.
Yeah, so they put up a wild looking photo of that nigga. You know what I mean? Which only gets the comments ammo. You know what I mean? Like, look.
Yeah, it's great. You gotta let shit go, man, because some of his shit don't age that well.
Nah,
nigga,
man.
Don't want niggas bringing that shit up, that you may be young, but you ready shit, he was singing.
You might want to taper down
and stay quiet, keep his head down, do his work. You know what I'm saying? Keep the commentary to his motherfucking self.
Nigga. Get you a hype man. Get you a DJ. Somebody to speak in them little quiet moments for you. It was kind of crazy.
But nah, they look like they was locked in. I will say this, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I watched a lot of things, but I will say this. Snoop Dogg probably had one of the best award show sets that I've seen in a minute from a rapper. You know what I'm saying? Not just saying that it was the best sonically or all that shit, but the transitions were smooth as fuck. You know what I'm saying? They all hit real good. You know what I'm saying? His voice still sound the same because he always had a unique voice. So luckily it's not, you know, ragged or raspy no more, like raspy or anything like that. As he ages, it sounds just like he did in 93. He brought out, you know what I'm saying, Corrupt to, you know, Corrupt got a great response. And Warren G got to get in the game, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's almost like Warren G been begging to get in the game, and he shouldn't have to, because, like, goddamn, I put this shit together, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
To see Warren G get his little shine in the moment, you know what I'm saying? Hopefully he get more and get to go on the road with somebody with them and shit, you know what I'm saying? But I don't know what happened. But it was good to see Warren G part of the fold, because we bought into that. You know what I'm saying? Shit, he was in the group with Warren G and Nate Dogg. 213, nigga. That's the story.
Right.
So for Warren G not to be able to get into the Super Bowl was like, damn.
I wonder why. That's because that's he was so he was such a big part of that. At least because I remember that clearly growing up.
Nah, but shit happens, man. It's business, and you grown. You know what I'm saying? So what happens is if your part of the business is not the revenue generating part, like you could get left home. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like there's plenty of niggas that been that was in there in the beginning, helped was real instrumental. But if in 5 years, 10 years. They star has faded and they not adding to the revenue part of it. And it's like, you know, life goes on. Who paying for Warren G to come? You know what I'm saying? The promoter ain't going to pay. Then you got to take it out your pocket. But that's got to be the relationship between those two artists. And I don't know what that relationship is, but it's good to see that he was back in the fold.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Yeah, it's yeah, I didn't realize it was strained until you just said that about the Super Bowl. I didn't know about the Super Bowl thing, but I'd recently seen Warren G in an interview kind of speak to the fact that things were a little strained. You know, he's still kind of cool with Snoop, but him and Dre don't, you know, it ain't really, you know what I mean? It's not as cool as he would have liked it to be. And, he, you know, he was diplomatic about it, but you could he definitely felt a way. And I liked, and I don't know if you saw, I know you talked about his set, but when Snoop accepted his award, he definitely made, and he made, it was like, he really focused on the fact, he was like, I want to say, you know, I want to send a shout out to Warren G. I'm happy he's here. You know, he believed in me before anybody believed in me. Like he made that point to say that he was like, you know, sometimes he said, you know, with us, you'll see superstars and you don't know. Sometimes it's a lot of, you know, people, they get disillusioned. They don't always believe in themselves. They could kind of get lost in it. And sometimes it's those people in your life that'll tell you, nah, you really that person, and they can help you weather the storm. And he was like, that's my brother. Like, he really, like, he laid it down. Like, you know, he did everything, say, yo, sorry about that Trump shit. Like, he kind of, like, he said some shit like, look, man, fucking Charlie Wilson helped me get my, you know, keep my wife. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit was real. Like, pretty much everybody outside of Mariah. Mariah was pretty much teleprompted out, but everybody that got one of those icon awards. They really spoke from the heart, and they like it was like a testimonial. You know, Jamie gave the Jamie thing. It's kind of part two of the special. You know what I mean? It was real teary, and but it was sincere and deep. And then Kirk Franklin, same thing. He was like, "Yo, I might not be a good father. I might not be a good husband." You know what I mean? Shit, I ain't even a good artist. You know, I can't even sing. You know what I mean? Who but and then it kind of. Kirk Franklin.
Oh.
He, but it was smooth, though, the way he kind of killed it, because he, you know, you forget, he's from the gospel scene, so his shit turned into a nice little sermon. He was like, you know, it don't make sense. And then that became the refrain. He said, you know, when you get favor, and you know, you've started succeeding in a field where people been doing it longer than you, and you know, it don't make sense, but that's God. And then such and such, and he was killing that shit. I was like, okay, bad. But, and then my last thing about the whole BT Awards, I mean, there's a bunch of shit, but one of my things that I thought, you know, I fuck with her. But Glorilla winning her first BT Award for gospel.
Wow. Was
hilarious. And I love that shit.
And then Kevin Hart, name it, calling out while her Gloria, hallelujah. You know what I'm saying?
So
that all wrapped up real nice.
Yeah, nah, it was dope. That was dope.
Yeah. She going to jump right back out there with her moose knuckles.
You know what I mean? Exactly. Same show. Same show. Come on now. We got this line. Let's not fuck up the money. Let's not fuck up the money. Oh, shit, man. What else is cracking with y'all? What else? What y'all want to chop it up about? What we got going on?
BMF?
Lambert?
Yeah, we got BMF. Is it time to go to the D?
The time is the time.
The time is the time.
What up, though?
We are there.
What up, though?
Hey, what up, though? It's been a while. What up, though? Shit, nigga, the Detroit Dukes of Hazzard, Bo and Luke.
Yeah,
T Bo and Meech. Luke Duke. All right, well, shit, Detroit.
Yes, sir.
Muhammad, you want to kick it off? You want to bring us?
Well, we're back. BMF is back. You know, last week, check, niggas was stuck in Mexico. We started off in Mexico. I really don't know how they were, why they were getting attacked, because I don't remember why they were getting attacked in Mexico, but they somehow escaped through on foot across the desert, through the sand, you know what I'm saying? And they beat the bullets, you know what I'm saying? Miraculously, under the grace of goddamn Meech, you know what I'm saying? They made it. The plug Loco was in a dress. I don't remember that being a part of the show, but he was in a dress. And I don't know what had happened. But anyway, they made it. And Meech gets bit by a rattlesnake. And in any other instance, that's probably sure death. You know what I'm saying? Not here, though. Not here. I got down Reverend Martin Luther Meech. They found a medicine man somewhere in the desert. I don't know, in enough time for a nigga not to die. Do some type of, you know what I'm saying, medicine man movements. Foo, foo, foo. Poof, he back to life. And then becomes the brother's beef. The origin of the brother's beef, I suppose. Because, you know, he brought him back. The medicine man told Meech he was going to be a legend, you know. And Meech bought that hook, line, and sinker. Yes, sir. I'm a goddamn. You hear that? You hear that, T?
You about to be a legend's brother.
God got something for us.
Right. And for me, it's like, in my name.
First of all, nigga. why you bringing God into this? You know what I'm saying?
And
I guess that's the origin of how they split. Cause
it seems like it, right?
Yeah, I mean, because he talks about it. He talks about it somewhere later in the thing where Meech said this, you know, where, you know, our problem started or whatever, some shit. But anyway, Meech woke up, but then we get back to Detroit. And Meech ain't came home. You know what I'm saying? It's just T. And Meech just in Mexico. You know what I'm saying? And they're not telling us why. It's just T going through hard times. You know what I'm saying? Like, basically, like, he can't make it on his own. Or he's having a hard time making it through this stretch without Meech. And niggas don't want to pay St. Louis nigga. What's his name? Jay something. He don't want to pay. You know what I'm saying? He's like, you know, T call him up, nigga. What's up with the money, nigga? I don't owe you no money, man. If your brother ain't calling out, shit, it's mine. You know what I'm saying? When your brother call, I give it to him, but I ain't giving you shit. Nigga, you need to get your ass in the car, bring me that money. Then, you know what I'm saying? He's like, man, listen. You know what I'm saying? If you want it that bad, you can bring your monkey ass out to St. Louis and get it. And you
disrespect.
Know, I mean, it's just totally like he's totally being little brothered by everybody and can't seem to get over the hump. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that goes along. Then Markeisha shows up and he, you know, already in the funk. And she wanna be in business. She wanna be a player in the game. He kind of laughed her off, saying, you know what I'm saying? Good luck with that. Explaining to the other hustlers that you worth something. And she's like, fuck you, nigga. I'll never be under you again, nigga. And, you know, in true Power Universe fashion, she disappears. Poof. And then, shit. So now, at the house, everybody's getting ready for Nicole to graduate. You know what I'm saying? Anybody want to chime in here? I don't want to hog the mic.
Go ahead, Chris. Okay,
Chris, what'd you see? You know, Nicole graduation.
Nicole's graduating, which seemed to be kind of fast to me. Was there a time jump, or was she always like a junior, senior? I guess that's about right.
I feel like she was I think it's about right.
Weird because when we first started, what's this, season four?
Yeah, season four, yeah.
When we first started, T was in high school. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
That's about it.
And he never graduated. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so I'm not sure how much younger she is, but, you know, it's been 4 years, so probably a couple years jumps in there, so it all makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, she.
That's not as shocking as some of this other shit that be happening, but go ahead.
Yeah, she's. That's true. Like, yeah, she's about to graduate, and the mama, Lucille, is very anxious. Then we find that she's the first one to graduate, right? First one to graduate mm-hmm. high school.
Yeah, that's what made me think about T. When the pop said, you'll be the first Flannery to graduate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting ready. And who comes? Does she get, who does it, is it, did T give her the necklace?
Yeah, he did give her the necklace. T gives her the gift. And, you know, it's setting up the whole Meech thing because, you know, Meech is always the star of everything. And then, so he gives her a diamond necklace. And her whole line was, I didn't expect this from you, T. You
know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. I didn't even catch that. Yeah. Damn.
I'm like, damn.
Oh, man.
It was a couple, man. It was some funny little joints in the house.
Right.
So when the cake come, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
The cake come, mama go get the cake from the dough. He like, well, it's going to be a $20 you know what I'm saying, delivery charge. She like, what? How you going to charge an extra $20 to come around the corner? And then
Charles
get up to pay. The motherfucker, he knocked on the door. Charles get up to go answer it. And then she had a quick little line like, it's my house, Charles.
Yeah. Oh, damn, Charles.
And then she get to the door and ain't had the $20 to give him the delivery shit. So Charles, he got out real smooth. Like, you know, he happy about this shit. Gave him the $20, like, key to change. You know what I'm saying? And she was like, key to change? Where's the child support, Charles?
And he's been on tour. Yeah, like, is he fresh off the first leg of the tour? And then they're like about to go back, right?
Right, right,
okay,
right.
Okay, yeah. That is
like, where the child support, Charles?
Damn. Well, does she? Let me ask this: does he need to pay child support? And Shorty is 18, the youngest.
Who says she's 18? She could be 17.
Okay, okay.
And he probably owe that back. You know what I'm saying?
My old back.
Well, however long, you know what I'm saying? He probably had a little back support he had promised to give her.
That's true.
When he went on tour, but then you know how the tour be doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Because he don't really seem like he come across like an absent father.
No, he only been on tour
for a couple weeks. You know what I mean? Even if he live in the doghouse.
He live in the doghouse, but he there.
But he's in the house. Crazy. Yeah.
Hey, he stay taking shots. He takes some shots. I mean,
you know, she quick to let him know that it ain't that, Charles. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
As soon as you think it's that, no, it's not.
Even though she hooked up with somebody, too. Or didn't go.
Yeah. Old the doctor.
Yeah, that was lick doctor, back though. Doctor
yeah, she's trying to get a lick back.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
she's
that was her moving forward. She was ready to. She had done got rid of that nigga.
She was ready to jump the broom with that nigga.
Yeah.
She was ready. He was like, "My, I was just bugging out. I just been wanting this did this since the 30s. It ain't been that long, but it's like
she's like,
so he was in fucking high school.
Back to Wendy's,
but." Yeah, man. Hilarious. Exactly. When you first started at Wendy's. But yeah. So this is one thing I want to ask y'all real quick, and I'll let you keep going, Chris. But like, it felt like, and maybe I'm bugging, maybe I got to rewatch it. But right as Meech made his Fonzie ass entrance, you know what I'm saying? It felt like Nicole was about to make a real big announcement.
Drop the bomb.
I thought she was gonna say she's pregnant.
Right.
I thought that's because she was kind of looking over at homie, her little study buddy. I thought she was about to be like, "Yo, I got a, you know what I mean? I got something in the oven."
She's like, "I got a big announcement."
Meechie,
here come Meech. Martin Luther Meech come in right on time.
It wasn't about. It wasn't about like maybe. Wait. No. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Because did she take a pregnancy test last season?
Did she get pregnant? No, she started having sex last season.
Right, but did she have a test? Didn't she have a test somewhere? I don't know. I might have just imagined that.
Maybe. I think it might have wound up full. I can't remember. Yeah. You know, I had to ask you this. But go ahead, Chris. Keep going.
I was saying, So the moms is they had like somebody drop out, the pastor, and she's being considered for the guest pastor. So she has an interview with one of the ladies of the church, and they're like, yo, they can relate to you, and you're like the number one candidate, but she's kind of apprehensive. But I think that's like her. She's been stressing out about that.
Yeah. So she had an interview and Charles out there playing his little, what do you call that little machine he was playing?
I don't know what that shit is. Is it the keytar?
I think not it might be. Keytar, but that, no, it's not. Yeah, ah, shit.
Out there playing the keytar and shit.
She's like, God damn it. The slide.
What is that shit?
Would you stop with all that bullshit? Yeah, like.
Didn't Nora, the song Nora is Jones' to me too. Daddy played it? The sitar? Is that it?
The sitar. Yeah, the sitar. I don't know if that's the sitar. Is that a sitar? Maybe. Yeah, it's not the. Yeah, one of them shits. Something that she don't want to hear that shit.
Right. Because she was. It almost felt like. I don't know if you guys felt like this, but it almost felt like Lucille was like. Even though Nicole was graduating, Lucille was like kind of trying to make things about her. And it's just like, yo, Shorty's graduating.
Well, that's not necessarily fair because. She did have a life-changing moment coming up. You know what I'm saying? She'd been working in the church, but to be acknowledged and to be put in a position, that was a big deal for her.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think this whole episode, graduation day, it was about all these levels of matriculation. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So Lucille was matriculating through the church. Nicole was matriculating from high school. Meech matriculating to a legend. From Mexico to survive a band of fucking cartel members and a fucking rattlesnake. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So Lamar matriculating from rehab. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So all of these things are happening at once. So I think what they were trying to do was impress upon everybody how important each of these individual things were.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
That's a good point.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. I feel like I gotta run it back. Like I kind of.
Well, I had to watch it twice though. So.
Oh, you watched it twice. Okay.
Hell, hell yeah! I had to. Yeah. I had to.
Yeah, I only watched it one time. I'm a double back. Well, I tell you my notes. Okay. A couple just off the top of that, just off the first viewing. I'll be honest with you. I may have said this before. It's almost you have to. I had to adjust. There's an adjustment when you're coming from Raising Kanan level acting to DMF. It's an adjustment. It's like, okay, I forgot. She get a little bumpy here. It's a little different. This is not as, these are not thespians. All of them. Some of them are. Russell Hornsby's a beast.
You know what I mean?
Some of them get busy. Yeah. Some of them get busy. But then it's like, some of it, we forget this is the Dukes of Hazzard. Mm-hmm. Shit is not believable. The way they be dodging all of them bullets, that snake bite don't do shit to Meech. It's just, it is what it was. The way Lamar got shot, bing, bing. Yeah. You know, conveniently, basically both shoulders for the most part, you know what I mean? And he just smooth up out of there.
Yeah, you know? Mickey could have finished him off, but Meech was too high and mighty. Mm-hmm. Fuck you,
so you think he
just mean nothing, nigga?
He ain't gone, is he? You don't think?
Nah.
No, he's definitely not going. He got up.
Oh, he did shit. I
missed. He got up.
Yeah, they showed the puddle of blood, but he wasn't nothing no more.
He was gone, like the boogeyman. Terminator and shit. Like the boogeyman. And then Lamar Hathaway. I forget. Has Lamar sang before?
Because Lamar always get a good needle drag. Okay. In this joint.
Yeah, he was like, that must have been a renegotiation. He was like, yo, I got an album coming out over in the UK. I need depth to
my character.
Yeah, I need some depth for sure. Let me get somehow let's get a piano in this scene. Yeah. So that was interesting. What else happened that I had a note about? I mean, the Markeisha thing. So Markeisha goes to the prison to go see her old dude. Was it Boom? Go see Boom. Boom connects her to one of his old connects lady, and then they do the whole baby. Go ahead.
No. It was she had that connection. He said that the dude owed him some money still, and then she was like, yeah, his baby. She already had the play in her head. You know what I'm saying?
Got it.
His baby mama work over at the such and such at the filing department. I'm going to go see her. Right. Like, what is you on, Markeisha?
Right. Yeah. Markeisha be hustling. Right. And she wants her, she, you know what I mean? Like, I can't even be mad at Markeisha. She's very, like, she's persistent. She's, you know, like, yeah, it's she's persistent. She tried to get, she tried to find a way to make one.
Right.
You know what I mean? So okay, it's like, look,
Keisha.
You know what I mean? Hey, listen, see, hey, you know what I mean? But, yeah, there's a little bit of that. I mean, we'll see where that goes.
It look
messy.
We'll
see where that goes.
It looks like it's about to be messy.
You think she gonna get?
No, well, I just think because she went to the jail with a nigga to see the nigga who her husband, who she played to get with right. T. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now doubling back like he forgot about that shit. It don't. Game already ain't safe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true.
So it's like she's starting it with risky propositions that. You know, she's digging up trees, digging up cold cases and shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? But she going to talk, call this man like, yeah, you owe my man some money from, you know what I'm saying, 3 years ago. He in prison. And you know what I'm saying? Like, T can't even collect his money, and he in the game. You know what I'm saying?
Right, that's true. Yeah.
So it seems like it's finna get messy.
That little fight scene between Meech and T. That was good.
Yeah,
I'm not
even
gonna lie. That was a good one. That was some good fight choreography. The way it was shot, they were getting at each other.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
I mean,
go ahead.
No, it was a good fight. You know what I'm saying? But you know, it always ultimately wasn't gonna never be a fair one from this from
TV. It's Meech.
Right.
It's Meech.
So he got slammed all up and then jumped right back and whooped the shit out of T.
Beat him viciously.
T had,
you know what I'm saying?
Like a little boy.
Could have killed him. Yeah. Could have killed him.
Then he had his little fingernail file. What you gonna do with that little nigga?
Yeah, that was crazy.
Get the fuck out. Get the fuck out. Oh yeah. Did you deaf meet you deaf? You little bitch, man. Little nigga.
Yeah, man. That was crazy. Yeah.
But
yeah, go ahead.
Trip shit.
But then they got shot at after that. That's how they got.
Yeah,
that's
later
how they
on when they I guess you know, was collecting some money. Now the money rolling in because Meech in town, and you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Higgle your half, nigga. Now I'm about to dip.
Right.
When you going back to Atlanta? You know what I mean? And he like, we should run. Nigga, we ain't going to make it 2 feet. Nigga, this BMF, nigga.
Don't you watch the show? Yeah. Come on, man. B. Mickey. Now, what y'all think? Let's talk. Let's have some speculation. Let's have some. First of all, what you think about the return of B. Mickey?
That's what I was gonna ask.
How long is that last? He gonna get killed? What y'all? How y'all feel about it?
I don't even remember the nigga story, man. I gotta go back.
He had that girl. Kato was like a snitch, kinda, right? And then
right.
Did they kill her or he killed her?
Yeah, Kato was working for Lamar. Lamar had Kato working.
Yeah.
And then he had to kill her, I think.
Yeah.
But it was.
Yeah, but then.
Go ahead.
Nah, and then he was kind of, I don't know if he was working for the cops, but he got cool with the cop's son, remember?
No, they was trying to make him work for him, you know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't really want to do it, but they was just on his ass. They was, like, stalking that nigga.
Yeah.
Right. But did he ever do? There was one point he pulled out a gun on T in Atlanta. Like, was there ever a point where he switched sides, or was he like, I forget what why they don't fuck with him? Y'all let us know.
Like, I thought he, I thought he was loyal to them, but like they just caught him in a compromising position that like maybe they saw Steve Harris, his detective care, Detective Breyer.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Cause B. Mickey's mom's was dying.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then was it
grandmother
wasn't Steve
something
doing
like
something
that.
He was doing something to like
get
he had his mother in a good clinic
based
on this. Some shit. Yeah. Something. I don't know. But I don't know if he ever did anything for the cops.
Right.
They were kinda using that as the carrot.
Right.
Like, yo, we'll help. You know, help your mother if you help us, and you know, I don't think he ever
and they
did
took
it. To
the,
your
they
point,
took
I think.
Her out, and she died.
And she died, and then he I don't know. He didn't try to keep.
We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
Well, it'll come. It'll all be reintroduced or whatever. We ain't seen nothing from Lobos yet.
Who?
Was it Loco or Lobo? Loco, what's Loco. My man Lobo? Loco.
Except for T saying you was on your play date out there in Mexico with Loco. We don't know what that mean yet.
Okay.
That's when they got to fighting.
Yeah. Oh, okay. There's that. What else is going on? Nicole, maybe she's pregnant. We'll see. I'm curious if that tour is really. It sound like it ain't really doing.
Sound right. Like he ain't finna get that child support, dog.
Yeah.
Sound like a good time scenario.
Oh, so y'all don't think he's going back on the road? You think he's just bullshit? Yeah. He don't really know.
Nah. You know how shit happens. You know what I'm saying? Shit happens to all of us.
At least you can wish me luck.
Oh man.
At least at this stage, niggas know not to depend on everything like that. But you know, shit be happening.
Right.
And it's too much talk of it. Like it for it to go too smooth. You know what I'm saying? It feel like a good time set up.
Yeah.
JJ going to art school. You know what I'm saying? Hilarious. What's it called? Going to the pros. Hope. You know what I'm saying? She getting married. He going to the pros. This nigga tears ACL at the wedding.
Oh, sad. No joy in Mudville. Just sadness. So she preaching. Who else? Who? Anybody that might be revisiting that we ain't thinking about?
I mean, I think to your point, I think the B. Mickey thing is one of the biggest, to me, like the biggest reveal out of the episode. Because, like, oh, shit, he's back. I guess they just be making us wait so long that you forget, like, plot points and, like, why this character's back. And it's like, oh, shit, okay. We know he had problems, so he shot, you know, Lamar. Mm. So it's like, but where is this going to go? The Shy does that a lot, too, where it's like, who's this guy?
We're going to see.
I mean.
Yeah. Shout out. Go ahead.
Overall, you know what I'm saying? It was a cool introduction back into the to the universe of BMF.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, 50 got enough beef out there for us to tune in. Like, we was going to do it anyway, but, you know. They hyped up the season enough.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mexico turned out to be a bust to me, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Unless they're going to do some flashbacks. Yeah, we went all the way. It don't make no sense.
We went all the way to Mexico for them to lay in the sand. You could do that in Miami.
Yeah.
Did that shit in Miami, man.
Basically. You know what I mean? Yeah. We'll see. Maybe they do some flashbacks or whatever. Shout out to Africa Miranda. I don't know, you remember Africa Miranda. Remember Africa Miranda, Ali?
Nah, who that?
She back in the day when we had an artist on the Verge joint, I think, for Vixen.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, it was all women. It was like Lila James, D. Mello, Africa Miranda was one of the.
I remember Lila James being there with the fire red afro.
Mm-hmm. With the fire red afro in the real deal voice.
Right, but I don't remember nobody else being there.
Yeah. She kind of stole the show that night, but Africa Miranda was there, and then she moved on later on into acting, and she was on the show. She was on BMF. She played the woman that was running the gambling spot when she was talking to T. She was like, yeah, I know who y'all. Da, 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 da. I said, oh, shit. They go. And I'm curious. I think I would have known, but I saw somebody on the internet spoiled it. Because, like, she retweeted somebody shouting her out. Mm-hmm. And I wish I had seen it beforehand because I would have been like, oh, shit. You know what I mean? But, But salute. That was good luck.
Now, one thing would say, it's a throwback to the BET Awards about the 106 and Park reunion. First of all, you know what I'm saying? Out of all of the people, when I heard Julissa and Terrence J, I think she was with Terrence. Who she was with? Julissa and who? Terrence J, right?
Terrence J.
Yeah.
No, that's Roxy and Terrence J.
So it's Julissa and who?
I think Julissa. Maybe Julissa has some crossover. No,
she was
with,
up there with somebody.
Oh, you talking about on the show?
Yeah, just now. Last she was night. Up there with,
Oh, well, maybe it was Terrence J then.
Nah.
Maybe it was Terrence J. I thought you meant like when they hosted.
Well.
But But go ahead.
No, Jaleesa and Tigger. Jaleesa and Tigger. That's what it was.
Okay, got you. Okay.
When I heard them two voices together, I remember that shit. Like it being, even though AJ and Free probably were the most famous ones, but I remember that era. Once I heard them together, it was like, oh shit. I remember that. It just popped in my head. Like that was a dope era. But but watching the trip, the performances with, you know, Maya, Ashanti, A. Marie. I can see how Beyonce put their all on out of business. I can see it. Because music
take
was
the floor, nigga, take
music,
2 minutes.
Music was not the same after she came with that solo album. And those artists were the ones who were doing it at the time when she came out.
Right.
And it was like, it was a more softer type of singing, you know what I'm saying? Lightweight dancing, you know, a couple steps here, that one, two step, you know, turn around. You know what I mean? That shit ain't like that no more. You know what I'm saying? Like that shit, when she came, that shit was a lot of dancing and breath control and real singing and, you know what I'm saying? Jump back into, do a split, jump back up into the motherfucking note. They weren't doing all that.
Beyonce generational, dog. You remember Pops used to have them running in heels on the track and singing.
Yeah.
Right. Like he put them through boot camp.
Who?
Like they
dad?
Matthew
oh, they dad. Oh, okay.
I'm about to call him Matthew Perry. Matthew Knowles had them R.I.P. running Matthew the track.
Oh, you said Pops. I thought you said Pac. I'm like, what Pac got to do with this? But
no, not Pac. Pac was with Keisha Cole. Right. But Pops used to have Destiny's Child or Girl Time, whatever, whichever iteration it was. Either way, Beyonce was always there. Mm-hmm. They had them run the track in heels and sing.
Damn.
So he was on some like straight boot camp shit. So when they came, they was not to play.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all niggas can't come with no half measures.
They hit the ground.
We
they
come
hit
in
the
here to
running.
Take this whole shit.
Right.
Yeah, man. So get up out of here.
And I only say that shit because I was selling the music ads at Vibe. At the time, and it was this whole list of artists that were about to come out solo, women, whole list of artists who had just had come. Ashanti was on the cover, you know what I'm saying? They did a lot of shit with A. Marie, so I remember all of them people being there, and it was right around that same time when Lela James and all of them had that performance, and every month them shit started getting pushed back. I'm like, damn, I was depending on this money. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, what y'all doing? I'm like, T.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Calling to the labels. And then they all just got canceled. You know what I'm saying? Just, you know what I'm saying? Dropped. You know what I'm saying? Just disappeared. And for a long time, it was like no solo releases that was like from the labels that they were pushing. So I'm like, damn, she done put everybody out of business. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, Cowboy Carter. Came in on a horse.
But looking back at the motherfuckers now, you be like, okay, I can see why.
I can see it. You know, it's funny, too. A couple things about that. One, one thing to that point, there was this, I remember, though, that moment, because I remember when they finally put, I think it was Emil, put Beyonce on the cover by herself.
Mm-hmm.
With the fro and the little knit cap. This is right around the time that she was in the Austin Powers movie. Right. Their first album came out. But I remember it was an unpopular choice.
Right.
Because there was a little...
It was before the album drop.
It was before the album drop. And they was having a little bit of... they was catching a little drama because they had just gotten... Destiny's Child got booed at the All-Star game in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that was a thing. And then... Yeah. I remember that was a thing. And then they were like, you know, people were unsure. But to your point.
They weren't feeling that so more soulful direction. They weren't feeling that shit. You know what I'm saying? Because like I said, the game was mostly sing-songy type stuff. You know what I'm saying? So they weren't feeling all that extra soul type shit that she was looking like she was trying to do. And for some people who had heard it before, it was a lot of talk about how that shit wasn't gonna work, and she needed to go back and do this, that, and the third, and be more like J Lo or whoever the fuck. And that Crazy in Love hit, nigga, and the world was never the same.
Man, that was Rich Harrison's joint. That was A. Marie's DJ premiere. It was over for her.
Yeah. It was over for everybody.
It's like, say, yo, sorry, sis, I got to go get this.
Hey.
But the crazy, speaking of that, famous last words, just to put a button on that shit, it was the writer Khalifa Sana. They always bring it out all of the time. But that nigga did his review of the Beyonce album in New York Times. And I want to say, I don't know if it was the first line, but it was definitely in there. It was like, she's no Ashanti. Damn. Oh, that first take sometimes ain't the best.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah, man.
I remember that.
Nigga on the other side of history.
Damn. I remember that, nigga. Buddy.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they gambled wrong on that one.
Yeah, nigga. Oh, man, but it is what it is.
Word up.
But speaking about making history, Chris, tell the people, man, you about to shoot your first hour. It's coming up. Speak to the people. Tell them where it's going to be, what to look for. Speak, just, I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, in a couple weeks, June 27th, 7 o'clock p.m. and 9:30 p.m., two shows. I'm going to be taping my special at Caveat. It's on the Lower East Side in New York City. I've been preparing this material for a long time. And I'm thankful for you to have me open for you for several occasions. And it's actually like trips with you, gigging with you has just kind of inspired me to just kind of work on my craft, you know, on a deeper level and try to be more honest and what I'm talking about. And just even like working with you, even in our conversations off mic and everything. So, I'm just trying to, I'm ready. It's time to show people what I can really do. And everybody's got a special, but this one's gonna be mine, and it's gonna be 100% me, and it's gonna be funny. When I talk about it, I sound like I am going to have a good special. This is it, but it's like, yo, I'm serious about it. It's gonna be a really good time. You're gonna laugh, and I'm gonna be excited. I'm excited to share this with the world, and it's gonna be a really nice night.
Word.
Muhammad, what you got? You got questions for him? Talk to him, Muhammad.
Oh, man. So, you know, with this particular special, mm-hmm. What made it special for you?
What's making it special for me is that it's personal, and it's like it's essentially I'll be doing June this month. I will have been doing comedy for 16 years, and mm-hmm. and I think I listened to a lot of your stories about coming to New York, and I kind of feel like New York, as at least from a creative, from an artistic standpoint, New York kind of molds you into what you are going to be in a way. Like I came here, mm-hmm. I came here thinking like, yeah, I'm going to, you know, get my day job grind on, but I'm going to try to be an actor. I am an actor, but I'm going to work at, you know, trying to hone that craft in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was trying to do that, and I did do that, but it started with stand-up, and it was something that I had always wanted to do, but I had a fear of it, so I didn't start until I was mm-hmm. 29. So it's like, if they don't like you as an actor, they just don't like you. They don't like your character, but mm-hmm. if they don't like you as a stand-up, at least the way that I do it, talking about my life and whatnot, they don't like you. So that was kind of a big leap that I made at 29, and I never looked back, and I met people like you guys along the way who have been supportive, and even when I'm not on the show, just listening to y'all, I'd be on the road listening to you, and you guys drop mm-hmm. gems, and Ali, I think you're like a live action August Wilson character. August Wilson character. August Wilson, the one of the greatest American playwright, one of the greatest.
No, educate me, because okay. I don't know much about it, so I'm trying to get the reference so I could, you know, live in it.
So yeah, yeah. So okay. So August Wilson wrote Fences, which became that the movie with Denzel, right. All the movies right. that Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, and like that he was one of the first like. You know, other than like being inspired by Denzel, Spike Lee, Wesley Snipes, Courtney B. Vance, Angela Bassett, mm-hmm. all those black elites. Like mm-hmm. when I was about 19 years old, I was at a PWI. I was at a white, you know, like a predominantly white school, and I went to the library, and I found Two Trains Running, which was a play by August Wilson, and we had to mm-hmm. pick something to do for a monologue. And I picked a monologue out of that, out of from that play, and I worked on it in scene class and did it, did a monologue for like Parents Weekend, and I, and that was one of the first. He's one of the first people where I, like in theater where I found myself in his work. Like I was like, oh, that guy is my uncle. That guy's my dad. That guy is a dude at the barber shop. So I kind of like
what?
Like embrace that and. Because like when you're young and you're doing like educational theater, you're doing theater in Anywhere USA, like where I'm from in Maryland, it's like you're doing The Sound of Music, you're doing, you know, The King and I, and it's just like it's multi. Yeah, you're basically it's colorblind casting, but it's like it's not it's me, and I did those parts and I did them well, but it wasn't until I started reading August Wilson that I was like, oh, this is me, this is who I am. This is like,
right.
And so I just try to keep mine in that and just try to carry on tradition with the greats do and just try to improve on the design and try to do something new and just be honest with myself. And I think when I take those risks by telling stories, telling my story, I think that I get rewarded the most when I do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Word. No doubt.
There you go. Well, shit, man. Looking forward to seeing the finished product, man. I know you've been, out here grinding, making it happen, putting this shit together, man. It's gonna be a blast. You know, June 27th, 7 PM, 9:30 PM Caveat, New York City special, the special, the taping. Chris Lambert, if y'all are in the area, the tickets are still available. Go ahead and cop some tickets. Come out, see that man get busy. Be part of history. Claim it, man. You about to saber your fucking champagne bottle. You know what I mean? All in these motherfuckers.
That's right.
That's what it is, man. But yeah, man. Salute. Congratulations on that. You know, we chop it up when the joint drops. But yeah, before we go, let me let these people know as well. If you're in the Batavia area around that same time, June 26th to the 28th, I'll be at Comedy Vault. I'll be out there for a few shows. We got tickets still available. Go to DamianLemon.com, pick those up, and shit. We out here trying to make it happen. You know what I mean? August Wilson would be proud. You know what I mean? Shit. Listen, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
The main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.